Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cherub CDH Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Dawn Torrance Ireland, founder and president of Cherub, and also the host of CDH Blog Talk Radio podcast show, raising awareness for congenital diaphragmatic hernia. And today we're going to have the parents of Cherub Vivian, Dave and Allison, and they'll be on in just a few minutes. And it is March 5th, which means in just 3 weeks, we will be descending upon Capitol Hill, ready to raise national awareness for CDH as we promote CDH Awareness Month for April. And it's not too late to sign up to come with us, represent your state and your cherub and all the cherubs within your state with your senators and representatives. And if you can't make the trip, you can also write in and call in at their offices within your state, too, to help us get these proclamations passed. And this year, we've got a couple of other exciting things going on in Capitol Hill, which we'll tell you about soon. But for now, we are just trying to gather up and get ready for Awareness Month, which is April. We have some amazing light-ups happening in April. The CNN Towers lighting up for us again in Toronto, along with Niagara Falls. We've got quite a few places in the state that are lighting up for us. Proclamations from governors are coming in. If you haven't written or called your mayor to ask for a proclamation, now is the time to do it. The more people that we can teach about CDH, the more awareness we have going, the more opportunities for research funding for these kids so we can stop this awful monster. It looks like these parents are in. Hold on 1 second. Allison and Dave, are you there?
We are.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi. So happy to have you both. This is the first time we've had both parents on a call, and I love it. This is great. So really excited to have you guys. So what we do on our show is we talk about your journey with CDH, and we're just going to start at the very beginning. Before CDH, tell us what life was like for you before you ever heard those awful three letters.
Well, it was pretty normal married life. We were looking forward to starting a family and, never really expected what happened. I don't think anyone really does. But we were just building our life together. We had recently purchased a home, and we're ready to start that next chapter. And we got pregnant pretty fast once we made that decision. And we're really excited when it happened. Dave, do you have anything to add to this?
No, we were, we just got married about 3 years earlier, and then we bought a house about a year before we got pregnant. So that was kind of our timeline.
So you guys are going along, young, newlywed couple living the American dream and expecting everything to go off perfectly without a hitch, because that's what we all grow up expecting. And then exactly. When did you hear about CDH? When was she diagnosed?
So our journey was a little different. So we had our first ultrasound. I think I was about 9 weeks pregnant, just to hear the heartbeat and everything. And we actually got to see her, and we didn't know it was a girl at the time, but she was looked normal, everything looked fine, and the doctor gave us the option of getting a first trimester screen, which is something that looks for abnormalities, usually something like Down syndrome or heart problems, and it was an optional test, and I decided to have it. Just because I wanted all the information I could have, and I didn't think it would show anything, so I just said, "Why not? You know, just let's be cautious and just get all the tests that are available now." So I went to that. I think I was about 11 weeks pregnant, not expecting anything. I was 29 at the time, healthy, just really not expecting to get any sort of bad news. So I was there, and I went in, and the tech brought up the ultrasound, and she was pretty quiet. She was nice, but she was quiet. And just for your listeners, the first trimester screen measures, it's called the nuclear translucency fluid, which is in the back of the baby's neck, and you have to have it before 12 weeks to measure that fluid. And the normal amount, if I'm remembering correctly, is like 3, I don't even know what the measurement is, millimeters maybe, and that's like what's normal, 3 and below. And so the tech was very quiet, and the doctor came in, and he brought up the ultrasound and pointed out that her fluid was 6 millimeters. It was double what it should have been. So at that point, he said it was very likely there was some sort of problem. And thought, you know, we talked about different chromosome issues, specifically Down's. They gave me some probabilities, and she had based on the fluid, there was a high probability that she had Down syndrome. So at that point, I was obviously upset because I didn't know what was wrong. They just give you probabilities, but they can't really tell you. So we had a blood test done. That's one of the newer tests out there where they can check the baby's DNA within the mother's DNA, and it can help rule out some of the larger chromosome problems like Down's and trisomy, I think that's how you say it, 21, or that's Down's 18, and the fatal ones. So mm-hmm. we had that, and those showed up pretty normal. Like, she was okay in those areas, but I had an amniocentesis scheduled for 16 weeks to get a bigger look at all the chromosomes. And at that is when they do a pretty thorough high-tech ultrasound to, you know, see where the baby is and like see what's going on before they do the amnio. And it was in that ultrasound when they noticed that I was 16 weeks, and they noticed the stomach was next to the heart, and the heart was on the wrong side of the body. And that's the first time I heard CDH. Although when I was in those terrible weeks between 11 weeks and 16 weeks, where I didn't know what was going on, but I knew something was wrong, which was awful. I had done a ton of research on things that could have meant that her fluid was abnormal, and CDH was something that popped up. So I had read about it. So when the doctor said it, I had some sort of idea of what it meant, although not a very good understanding of it. But the doctor was great. He had information on Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, gave us a DVD, told us about CDH, and set up they called CHOP for us, and CHOP had called us later that day, and that's kind of how our journey got started.
Okay. Wow. Now, tell us how you decided to plan and put together a plan of attack on CDH. What did you guys decide to do with delivery and everything?
Well, first we wanted to get the results of the amnio and make sure we were only dealing with an isolated CDH, because sometimes there's the multi issue. And based on the amnio results, we determined that all of her chromosomes were fine, which made us feel better about the situation, the probability, you know, the survival. And then we went to CHOP at 19 weeks to get all of these tests done. It was a full day of testing, where they can, like, kind of give you an idea of the severity, although they can't really tell you, but they can take a look and see if anything else looks abnormal. So we had a full day of testing where all of those tests showed that everything else looked to be in order. So we were pretty sure we were dealing with an isolated CDH left side, and they thought at the time that her liver was up. And they threw a lot of numbers at us, but I was only 19 weeks at the time, so they said, you know, those numbers can change. And they don't like to focus too much on the numbers because it really is so unpredictable. You know, it could look really bad, but some babies do really well. It could look really great, but those babies don't do well. So they don't like giving you numbers, but we were given about a 40% chance for survival based on those tests.
As Allison mentioned, the 19-week appointment at SHOP, we really liked the hospital. We really liked the fact that they had a special delivery unit that was connected to the children's hospital so that, you know, Allison could give birth and we could be right there, you know, by the NICU. And we just felt really comfortable with all of the doctors, the nurses, all of the support staff and resources that they had. And we
familiarity with CDH.
Yeah.
They see so many CDH kids every year.
Yeah. So we live in Maryland right outside of Washington, D.C., and we did have some treatment options here locally, but we just felt really good about CHOP and decided that that's what we wanted to do because we felt like that was what not only felt best for us, but was maybe going to give Viv the best chance. And I think we're glad with the decision that we made.
That's great that you guys were close to CHOP and had that available and pointed out to you so early. Now, tell us about birth.
Yeah, so I actually had a really great birth experience. As Dave just alluded to, they have a special delivery unit. So that meant I could be in the same hospital where Viv was going to be, so we weren't going to be separated after birth, which was important to me. Also, I was seeing midwives prior to getting the diagnosis, and I wanted a natural vaginal birth. And obviously the diagnosis complicates things, but they actually have a team of midwives at CHOP, and I was able to have my natural vaginal birth. A lot of hospitals will force you to have a C-section when you have a special diagnosis like this, but CHOP was very much wanted to give the mother the kind of birth that they had thought, as long as the baby was tolerating it and everything was going well. So I did end up going into labor naturally. I didn't have to be induced. So I really liked those options. And obviously, Vivian's health was the number one priority, and I would have, you know, given up all my plans if she was in any sort of distress. But she was really a model in utero case. She didn't show any of excess fluid or distress, and she was growing appropriately. So we never had those sorts of concerns like I know some other CDH mothers have to go through where the babies can't cycle the amniotic fluid. And so we were pretty lucky in that regard, and I was very pleased with the birth experience. But, you know, it was still really scary because obviously I felt, you know, as long as she was inside me, I could protect her. I could do what I needed to do, and you know, she was pretty safe. And once, you know, she came out, I lost control over that, and it was pretty scary. Right before I went into labor, about a couple of days or a week before, we had had the big appointment with the neonatology department, and they just pretty much laid it out there. I mean, these are all things we knew, but every checkup that we had, everything looked good. So we were feeling pretty good about everything, and then you have this appointment, and they just sit you down, and they just go through every nightmare scenario that you really just don't want to think about. But they have to tell you because, you know, you don't really know what it's going to be like until they're there and how she's going to adjust and how she's going to handle everything. So that was a very difficult appointment, and I was feeling pretty overwhelmed after it and terrified. And I know they don't want to terrify you. They have to just prepare you for reality. But it was difficult. But I was so grateful for the birth experience that I had and the team of doctors and nurses and midwives that worked with us during labor and delivery. It was just a great, supportive, wonderful experience. And I was very happy to have that because I really wanted a good birth experience if I could possibly have one, because I didn't know what was going to happen after. So it was really important to me to have a birth experience that was positive, because I didn't know if that was the only thing I was going to have. So
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And CHOP is an amazing place, and I've toured their birth center, and it's just, I wish every CDH family could have that same experience in an environment like that. So I'm so glad that you guys were able to have a positive birth experience. That's a good, you know, some comfort in the middle of all the chaos that's about to happen. And how did she do with the birth and after?
So the first like 24 hours after were pretty dicey. She did great with the birth, and then they got her down into the NICU, and you know, we were down there with her for a while, but before we kind of left to go to bed for the night, her heart was beating at a rate of over 200 beats per minute, and they were telling us there was a pretty decent chance that if that continued and she didn't improve, that she might have to be put on the ECMO bypass machine. And so they said they would call us if that happened. So we were exhausted from the day and hadn't really slept the night before. But, you know, we went to bed sort of kind of looking over our shoulders, waiting for the phone to ring. And fortunately, it didn't. And when we went down the next morning, she had pretty well stabilized. At least compared to where she was the night before. And throughout that day, she was getting, you know, you could tell she was moving in the right direction. And then the following morning, which is when we were checking out of the SDU, Viv's surgeon stopped by and told us that she felt really good about where she was, and she was interested in scheduling the repair, and said that unless something unexpected happened, which obviously with CDH, unexpected things happen all the time. But, you know, if she continued going the way that she was probably going to not have to have ECMO, and seemed like she was going to have a pretty good path to recovery. So it was really that first 48 hours was pretty scary, and it continued to be scary. But
yeah, she actually regressed that weekend too. The doctor was thinking that we would get to schedule the surgery fairly soon, but you know, as with CDH, a lot of babies have ups and downs, and they have like a honeymoon period, and then things get a little worse sometimes. So she had some of those. So her first 24 hours was really dicey. Then she really leveled out, and then was doing great, and then started taking steps backwards a few days after that. So we ended up not having the surgery as soon as we thought we were going to. But she never needed ECMO, and that was a huge relief to us. So, because you know, it's a wonderful life-saving machine, but it also comes with its own complications. So we were just grateful that she avoided that.
Well, we have 9 minutes left. And I know you have 2 years of history in 9 minutes, and I hate that we're running low on time, but can you catch us up with, you know, how long was she in the hospital and at what point she had surgery, and then up to how she's doing now?
Yeah, so she was in the hospital a total of 60 days, and she had surgery, I believe it was day 16, and we got so she was started off on the oscillator vent, and then she was moved to the conventional ventilator, and she had surgery while on the conventional. And we first got to hold her at exactly 3 weeks, almost to the minute that she was born. First time I got to hold her, which was a great moment, even though she was still in the conventional and she had all of this apparatus that we had to work around. It was still a nice moment. And probably about, I'm trying to think of the timeline, but it probably wasn't much longer, about a week after that she was extubated. And she was on the CPAP for a little while, just as she adjusted. But, and then after she was extubated, she really just made great progress with like her being weaned down off oxygen and everything. The thing that kept us in the hospital the longest was weaning her off all the medication and the pain medication. She had a lot of trouble with withdrawal. And I also think that she was just generally uncomfortable, and maybe even a little colicky. So there was a plethora of things that were kind of contributing to her discomfort that kind of kept us in the hospital a little longer. She was on room air for a couple weeks before we were discharged.
She was also having significant issues with reflux.
Yeah.
And those continued after we were able to bring her home, as Allison mentioned, after about 60 days. So we brought her home in kind of mid-May. And then really through the first maybe 2 months that we were home, she was having some real significant reflux issues, which we were treating with some medication, and it eventually just kind of got better. But those first couple months were pretty rough, both in the hospital and out of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She had a feeding tube that we were NG that we were threading down her nose, and she had that through the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
Until she was able to take all of the nutrition that she needed just regularly. So, she was a little bit behind developmentally just because obviously she was in the hospital so long and couldn't move around, but she has seems to have pretty well caught up in everything in terms of, you know, cognitive, physical. She still gets PT every now and then, but it's really more just to make sure that she's doing well. And she seems to be doing very well, thriving. As far as we can tell, we go back to CHOP annually now just for a checkup, but seems to be doing really well.
Yeah, she's her only real issue, I think, I mean, you would look at her and never know. She's just tiny. I mean,
Yeah. She
never really caught up on her weight. She's like fifth percentile, so she's really tall and skinny, which makes dressing her a challenge because she's really like in 12-month pants, but they're like up to her, almost to her knees at this point. So,
that's pretty common for CDH kids.
Yeah.
They
need more
adjustable
pants
small
for children.
Suspenders. That's what
really,
we do.
I mean, like, yeah. But I mean, really, I mean, if that's our biggest complaint, like, we're extremely, extremely lucky, you know, and actually whenever they did the surgery, we should mention, it actually turned out her liver was never up. We went the whole pregnancy since the diagnosis thinking that her liver was up and preparing for the worst, because as you know, like, that really inhibits lung growth, but her lung, left lung, was actually really big. It grew behind all of her soft organs. A lot of it was damaged tissue, but it was there. The doctor actually had to retract it to repair the hernia, and she'd never had to do that before. Her right lung was actually a little smaller, but the left lung was large. It was just the lower lobe was fairly damaged. So she's doing great. You know, she's, I guess, a little, you know, winded, but if you would look at her and unless you saw her scar, like, I don't think anyone would ever think that she went through what she went through. So we're obviously extremely fortunate, lucky, just thankful that it turned out the way that it did. I mean, I know with CDH, you just don't know if they're going to survive, and if they survive, you don't know what kind of complications that you're going to be dealing with. And we've been more than lucky in that area.
Well, it's still traumatic no matter, you know, how far up or down the roller coaster ride is that you take. And I've had the honor of meeting all three of you and working with Dave on Capitol Hill and meeting Miss Vivian, and she is just the cutest thing ever. She is so adorable. She really is. And she's got two great parents who are, you know, working hard, taking care of her and trying to help other families and sharing your story, because stories like hers give so much hope to new and expectant families. And it's so important that they hear outcomes like yours, because, as you know, you see so much that is negative and sad.
Yeah. When I was pregnant, I looked for those stories. You know, I wanted to, I read a bunch of different kinds with a bunch of different outcomes because I wanted to be realistic, but those ones where everything turned out okay were just so important to me as I was going through the pregnancy.
Definitely, definitely. And we are so thankful that you're sharing your story today, both of you. It's so great to have both parents on, because we don't involve the dads nearly enough, I think, because it's different for moms and dads. Our journeys are, they're just different. And everyone rallies around mom and baby, and the dads are often kind of left on the sidelines, and we need to work better on that as a community too, I think. And it's so wonderful to have you both here. And I hope to see you again in D.C. or at the parade next year. We're down to 1 minute, and I hate to rush off, and I wish we could talk longer, because I have a gazillion questions I'd love to ask you both, and maybe we'll do a follow-up interview soon if you don't mind.
Yeah.
And
I just
want to say thank you so much for sharing your story and for giving hope to other families and for being part of our Big Cherubs family. And I will see you both soon.
Thank you, Dawn, for everything that you do.
Yeah, thanks, Dawn.
Oh, it's been my honor. Thank you both very much, and we'll talk
to
you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.